This episode of Distraction is sponsored by Landmark College, offering bachelor's and associate programs, short-term and summer programs for students who learn differently. Learn more at lcdistraction.org. Landmark College, the college of choice for students who learn differently.
I'm always making adjustments. You know, I think about it like, you know, when you're driving a car, you're not just holding the wheel straight. You're constantly turning it just a little bit to get the right balance.
Hello, and welcome to Distraction. I'm your host, Dr. Ned Hallowell. My guest today is Will Quee, a sophomore at Oberlin College and a brilliantly talented guitar player. He also happens to have ADHD. And per his mom, who we had on the show a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Catherine Quee, Will was a kid who wore everyone out with questions. Welcome to the podcast, Will.
Thank you.
Well, it's really nice to have you, and thank you for taking time. You're a sophomore at Oberlin, is that right?
Yeah, this is my second year. It's going pretty well.
Now, is it a music conservatory, or is it you're doing a straight college track?
I'm actually doing both. So I'm in the college and the conservatory. So I'm studying jazz, and I'm doing a jazz guitar degree. And then I'm also pursuing a history degree right now as well.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's good for us with ADHD to stay busy. So you're staying busy.
It is good for us to stay busy. There are definitely times where I feel like I'm like, is this really what an ADHDer should be doing? but it really so far it is. And I like always having something to keep me occupied.
Yeah, I have a new book that I'm just finishing up, and one of the concepts I introduce is to find the right difficult. We thrive on difficult, but it has to be the right difficult.
So true.
Yeah, but sounds like you found the right difficult.
Definitely. I mean, I'm always making adjustments. You know, I think about it like, you know, when you're driving a car, you're not just holding the wheel straight. You're constantly turning it just a little bit to get the right balance. So, you know, there are definitely adjustments I'm making all the time.
That's such a good analogy. I really like that. Yeah, when you're driving, you the wheel is never still. And you're saying that's sort of what it's like for you to
totally.
Do your life?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, especially with responsibility and balancing what I need to be doing, you know, how much I should be practicing. I think sometimes I go a little overboard and then I feel like I don't have time just to enjoy the world around me and kind of live in the present moment. So then I kind of turn it back that way. And then sometimes I go a little too far that way. I'm living too much in the present moment. Then I need to kind of turn it the other way and be a little bit more future oriented, which I think for, you know, ADHD can be hard at times. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your story. How you came into discovering ADHD and the guitar and how that all fit together.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, my mom is really the one who opened me up to the concept of ADHD. I mean, I don't actually remember the first time that it was used, that exact, you know, you have ADHD kind of in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember being different. You know, I do remember my parents, you know, loving me, supporting me, but also there was a certain level of concern early on about, and I could detect that, you know, I knew that there was something that they weren't fully telling me. You know, I was very young. When I got diagnosed, I was 4 years old. So I didn't really have a huge understanding of even what a diagnosis really was or what it represented.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that, you know, I was different than the other kids. You know, the other kids would fall asleep during nap time, which would be, you know, and I never would. I'd just be up and pacing around, and I always was moving and talking and doing all kinds of things. And I mean, the teachers said my name more than they said all the other kids' names. So I kind of could tell I was constantly hearing my name, William, you know, what are you doing? What are you, you know? But then again, I never feel put upon, like, kind of like, oh, poor me. It was just sort of like, huh, I'm different. But, you know, people still seem to like me. You know, I didn't feel any, like, animosity from people about it. And, the guitar came in the picture later. So the guitar came into the picture when I was 8 or 9. I remember I was in fourth grade, and then my dad always had music in the house. He's I'm really the only musician in the family, but my dad always had a good, you know, music that was very specifically guitar music. So I just grew up listening to it. His parents weren't really pushy people. They didn't really drive him. He tried to play, and then when he kind of got sick of it, they just let him drop it. But my dad didn't really want that for me. He was, you know, he could tell I was interested. So then he supported me, bought me a guitar, but made me agree to play consistently for 5 years. So practicing. And he was like, I'll buy this for you, but you really have to, you know, give it a shot. And then I agreed to that. And then after that, there was really plenty of times that it were tough. It wasn't like I was 100% self-motivated. You know, my parents would encourage me and have to push me a lot of the time. But eventually we got to the point where I think it was, you know, year four or something of it. And I didn't want to stop. I wanted to keep going. And I think really the reason for that is because that was the first thing I really found where all that energy I had, all that, you know, racing thoughts I had could get channeled into something that people really enjoyed. And no one was telling me that to stop. People appreciated it. So it was the first time I really felt like my ADHD had given me an edge. It hadn't interfered or disrupted my goals, you know? Yeah.
How old were you then?
I think by the time I was really into it and appreciating it, I was 12. It became a really defining part of my identity.
And you felt good about your ADD by then?
Well, I think when I reflect on it now, I did feel, but I don't think I could have articulated them the same way I am doing now. I felt good at something, and I felt that it wasn't hard in the same way that everything else was hard because I really enjoyed it. And one thing, you know, as ADHDers is when something that really interests us and we really enjoy, we can hyper-focus on and, you know, exclude the outside world, which sometimes it's come in the form of distraction, which isn't helpful. But in this case, it was, you know, and there were definitely times where it wasn't. But I think for the most part, it was like, yeah, it kind of came easy, which was great.
That's wonderful. And now, so you continued music, obviously, through high school.
Yeah.
And it became a central part of your life.
Totally. Oh, yeah. I think it's the most central part of my life. I think it's how I've met my friends. My closest friends are musicians. It gave me a community. It brought me to people who were similar to me.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, you know, kind of kids who are really in their head a lot of the time, asking a lot of questions, curious kids, you know, more of eccentric kids, because I went to different programs. You know, my parents put me in School of Rock, which was where almost I feel like half of the kids had some sort of developmental difference or you know, ADHDers or kids with just behavioral, maybe some behavioral problems. I don't know.
Yeah.
They were kids that I felt, you know, at home with.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the problems they have, but obviously they also had a lot of talent. And that's one of the points I try to make about this condition, that it's a marker of talent.
Yeah, I think that I didn't. Yeah, that's exactly right. They were creatives, you know.
Yeah,
just creative. They were creative people, and that those were the people that I really felt closely connected with. And
right.
And I went to high school. You know, I went to an arts high school, which.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I'm sure a huge ADHD population. I don't know the statistics, but definitely we had.
Where was that high school?
That was the St. Paul Conservatory for Performing Artists.
That was the high school. What city was that in?
St. Paul.
In St. Paul, Minnesota? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So you were surrounded by creatives. I'll bet you 80% of them had ADHD.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, people were, you know, dancing in the hallway, singing super loud, having fun. But, you know, and the teachers were, I don't know, they appreciated and encouraged the creativity. You know, but there were definitely times where it got to be too much for some of them, and they'd have to, you know, tell everybody, you know, you guys got to dial it back. So one thing that was nice is that I always picked to be around kids who were kind of like me, so I never felt, I feel like that eased a lot of the problems that a lot of kids face with ADHD, you know, maybe in just like your typical public school, you know?
Right. Did you take medication?
On and off. I have a pretty complicated relationship with medication. Honestly, I've tried it all pretty much. I'm very sensitive to medication, and I was a really tough case. My pediatrician never had an ADHDer who was so difficult to prescribe.
Yeah.
Because my appetite would go away almost completely. The worst was I had started having heart palpitations. There was just always side effects. My mood would be so down, or, you know, I would be able to work, but I didn't have my same sense of fun, or I would feel like my creativity would suffer.
Yeah.
Which is, I know, a common complaint.
Let me just interrupt you, Will. That's not should not happen. And if an artist or anyone is taking medication and saying it impairs their creativity, they ought to stop it immediately. I treat a lot of very creative people, and the point is, the meds should enhance your creativity in that it allows you to focus better, remember better, organize better. The minute it starts costing you your special sauce, you should get right off of it. So hunch is you were not properly, the meds were not properly managed, which is why you developed this ambivalent relationship. Do you take medication now?
Yeah, I do. I take Ritalin, very small amount sometimes. It depends on what I'm doing. I think taking it more regularly could be advantageous, but it does have effects on my appetite, so it's kind of hard for me to balance it. I don't take it at a regular interval. For me, it's whenever I have something really big coming up, like I take it kind of as needed, where it's like, oh, I have a paper coming up. I'll take a little Ritalin and it'll help me focus. But then again, it has some side effects that I find to be somewhat annoying at times, but they're not super drastic.
Will, if I can interrupt again, you ought to work closely with the doctor to get on a regimen where there are no side effects other than the appetite suppression, which always does occur. And then you have to get on a regimen where you eat. I mean, the solution to appetite suppression is to eat. It doesn't mean you can't eat. It's just that you don't want to eat. Well, eat, even though you don't want to. I mean, you brush your teeth, and nobody loves brushing their teeth. Eat,
yeah.
Same thing. Think of eating as brushing your teeth. You got to eat, or you'll have to stop the meds. I mean, obviously, if you don't eat, you know, that's life-threatening. But I think, you know, what you're describing is pretty classic example of not having the meds properly managed, because the standard I have is you get – there should be target symptom improvement with no side effects other than – appetite suppression without unwanted weight loss. And that's my standard. So,
yeah.
It sounds like if you do get some benefit, but this taking it PRN as needed is not a good idea. It suggests that the dose is too high, not only because of the side effects, but the way you're using it. Anyway, that's a long conversation, but you might have a conversation with your doctor about it. And the fact is, most doctors, the vast majority of doctors, do not have enough experience with these medications to know how to adjust them in the subtle way that you need to do.
It's tough, you know. Medication is one of the hardest battles as an ADHDer for me, and you're right. I mean,
well, it shouldn't be a battle, Will. I mean, you know, it should be an aid. It should be like eyeglasses. It shouldn't be a battle.
Yeah, I guess I just have struggled to commit to one, because I find the initial side effects difficult, and then I start thinking that this is not for me. You know, I feel kind of grouchy, I feel hungry, I feel this and that, and it's just I've never really found one that, like, at least right. I mean, you know, perhaps prolonged usage in a regular routine, those side effects would just maybe go to all go to go.
No, Will, no. Again, no. You should not take it in the face of side effects. A lot of people keep taking them in the face of side effects, hoping the side effects will go away. They don't go away. You should absolutely stop the medication if you have side effects. What I'm saying is, if you worked with a doctor who really knew this syndrome well and knew the meds well, 80% of the time we can find a regimen where you have target symptom improvement with no side effects other than appetite suppression without unwanted weight loss. But that means 20% of the time you can't. Like in my case, meds don't work for me. They just cause side effects. So my medication is coffee. Caffeine is my medication. But my hunch is that, you know, the way you describe it, your battle, your struggle, it shouldn't be that. When the meds work, people want to take them regularly. And I just wonder if you just haven't maybe had the right dose of the right medication. Or you might be one of the 20% like me for whom meds are just not the solution. Anyway, we've gotten on a long sidetrack about meds, and I really want to talk to you about your talent, your guitar. And,
well, no, I'm glad we're talking about it, because I actually did not know that statistic that 20% are, the meds just aren't what they should be. But
right.
I really think that there's a high chance that I could be in that, because I really have tried so many.
One of the absolute best ways of handling ADD is to find a creative outlet, and you've done that. Yeah. You know, so, you know, and to find the right difficult, and you've done that too. So you're probably, you know, working your ADD really well simply by what you're doing. You're being creative, you're also pursuing the history, and you've got a lot of connection, you know, which is also important, and you're active.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful story.
Well, thank you. I really am happy when I think of, you know, I think about the ways that it has added to my life. You know, there actually are a lot of strengths that come along with it. And I mean,
totally. Absolutely.
For me, this actually one example, this summer I worked as a canoe guide at this YMCA wilderness camp. And that was medication, really.
Yes.
Working up there felt like medication. I didn't have, you know, the same thing. I was able to focus. I was able to do everything I was doing. And I think a lot of it was, you know, the exercise, the frequent exercise I was getting.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Exercise is another really good remedy. So do you write music as well as play it?
Yeah, I do. I do. I've probably 8 or 9 songs at this point, and you know, there's more on the way. So yeah, I love writing music.
Oh, that's wonderful. And do you sing?
Oh yes, yeah, I do.
Oh boy, so you play the guitar, you sing, you write music. You're the next Bruce Springsteen.
does he have ADHD?
I'll bet he does. I don't know for a fact. My speculation would be yes.
Yeah.
Maybe someday if I meet him, I could get to the bottom of it. But so far, I have not been. I've not been lucky enough to meet him. He's a pretty amazing talent.
Oh, sure, for sure. It's just such a very rewarding thing. I mean, I'm very lucky. It definitely helped, you know, to channel all that energy.
And it's a wonderful story with you and your mom surviving the brilliance and blues of ADHD. You know, and the creative outlet is really your living proof of how important that can be, you know, finding and pursuing your creative outlet.
I mean, really, that's my main advice to ADHDers, you know, after... My mom and I were just in New York, and she gave a talk about her book and was interviewed by a New York Times reporter, which was really exciting.
Yes.
I talked a little bit, but also there was a lot of parents who had kids with ADHD at this talk, and they came up to me afterwards, and they were always kind of venting almost a little bit about how difficult it is to raise a kid with ADHD. And for a lot of them, they were just like, you know, my kid doesn't want to do work. They would, you know, list kind of their grievances. I think for me, the main point of inquiry I would make was like, well, what does your kid like to do? You know, what are their hobbies? And a lot of times they didn't really know.
Oh, you're so smart to say that.
They were like, I don't really know what my kid, like. And I'm pretty much telling them one thing that was super lucky in my upbringing was the fact that my dad, he put me in camps all the time. You know, and he didn't really know if I was going to like it or not, but he put me in all kinds of programs, you know, blues camp, sailing camp, archery camp, martial arts, you know, soccer. That's not all people can, have a means to put their kids in camps. That is true. But at the same time, I think that was just a huge thing because, you know, I didn't like everything that I was in, but when I did like it, I was able to find the things I did like because I was just trying out different things. So then I discovered, I like skiing. Oh, I like being on, I like hiking. Oh, I like playing guitar. Oh, I like, you know, X, Y, and Z. But I think parents with ADHD kids, that was really what I was telling the parents is like, just, you know, help this kid figure out what their, you know, how to channel this energy. So that was really my main advice.
You're absolutely right. Well, I think we've run out of time, and thank you so much for joining us. You're a wonderful, wonderful example of someone who has unwrapped his gift, as I like to call it, by finding a creative outlet, and how important that is for everybody, and to take the difficult way, you know, the dual major and all that you're doing. That's great. Well, Will Quee, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate having you.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. This is awesome.
Okay, well, that's it for today. My thanks to Will Quee for joining me. He was wonderful. I love the emphasis on the creative outlet. We ADDers need that. If you'd like to hear more about Will's story, check out the episode we released a couple of weeks ago with Will's mom, Dr. Catherine Quee, who wrote the book Surviving the Brilliance and Blues of ADHD, based on her experience of raising Will. We'll put a link to that episode in the show notes. Again, I just think his experience is generalizable in that if you have this condition, you really, really should find a creative outlet and make it difficult, just the right difficult. Please remember to reach out to us with your questions and show ideas. We need them, we love them, we act on them. Record a voice memo or write an email and send it to connect@distractionpodcast.com. That's connect@distractionpodcast.com. I'm Dr. Ned Halliwell, and thank you so much for listening. Distraction is created by Sounds Great Media. Our producer is the always fascinating and beautiful and enchanting Sarah Gerton. And the podcast is recorded and edited by the extraordinarily handsome, capable, talented Pat Keough.